From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Amazon and BP, that's British Petroleum, counterpush to repeal Washington climate law. Fighting on the part of the little guy, am I right or am I right?
Yeah, those are a couple little guys.
You know, British Petroleum only responsible for the largest oil spill of all time, which, by the way, I heard the best analysis of that, the BP oil spill. Yeah. The guy said, he said his daughter came up to him and she said, "Dad, why can't they just stop the BP oil spill?"
Right.
And he went over to his sink and he turned on the faucet and all the water was coming out. Uh-huh. He said, "Honey, if you can figure out how to stop the water from coming out of that faucet, you will be a billionaire." Without using that little term.
Okay, right, exactly.
See, I saw Spike's gears turning, and he said,
"You reach up and turn it on." It's an excellent analogy, though.
Right. So the appeals court also rejects the climate change lawsuit by young Oregon activists against the United States government. That's because that lawsuit was trash. Somebody should have told those children that courtrooms are for adults. They're not for little girls, right? I mean, this is the way to work through that. So the Republican legislative staff in Olympia, I found this story to be hilarious because they are the first in the nation to unionize under a new Washington law.
Yep.
Union. Now, the Republic, not Democrats.
No.
The Republicans.
Right.
Right. So what you're telling me, and this is based on a law that was passed in Washington state by which, legislature, the staff that works for the legislature mm-hmm. could unionize. Now, what is so hilarious about this is that every time you talk about anti-union sentiment, it's largely Midwest GOP voters. It's not the people in Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Right, who have benefited from union protections.
Drastically benefited.
Work improvements and situations, yeah.
But what you see is that in other places, there's tremendous amount of anti-union sentiment. If I talk about the teachers' union to any conservative, mm-hmm. they will start to have conniption fits. They'll just start shaking and their eyes will say a vein will pop out of the middle of their forehead.
That's why our kids aren't learning anything. They're unfireable. They don't do anything.
Yeah, right?
Summer's off.
So, Spike, I thought that maybe we could try something. I don't mean to throw you under the bus.
No, bring it.
But I know that you used a Ouija board once
mm-hmm.
and you were able to connect with Rush Limbaugh
mm-hmm.
through that Ouija board.
Sure, yeah.
And now
one of the most enlightening and darkening days of my life simultaneously. Yeah.
So I was wondering maybe sure. Laura brought a Ouija board.
Oh, great.
And I thought that maybe we could reenact this. And,
sure.
And maybe if you can connect to Rush,
okay.
I wanted to ask Mr. Limbaugh mm-hmm. how he might. So Laura, can you start the spooky? Andrew, can we get some spooky music here really quick? Because we have to set the mood right. Laura's got a bunch of votive candles here.
Mm-hmm. I have two Ouija boards. I have the glow in the dark one from the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And also a vintage 70s one that I found at an estate sale.
Yeah.
That's got the kitten bone the guider.
Correct.
Give that one.
Correct.
Yeah, make some real kitten bone. That's how you connect to the afterworld.
Go legit.
Andrew, have we got that spooky, spooky music?
Sure.
Ah, yes. Okay. So let's begin the ritual.
Okay.
And am I speaking to
Hold
Mr.
On.
Okay.
R. It's guiding itself. H. B.
Okay.
Yes! Yes!
Hi, Mr. Limbaugh.
Good night to you, Jack.
Mr. Limbaugh, I used to listen to you every day. This is such an honor and a privilege to be
here. Of course you did. You're a smart man. Why would you listen to anything else?
Why would
Nothing
I?
Nothing else mattered.
I got all 3 hours of all the news that I needed from you, sir. And actually, when Todd Herman was filling in for you, I used to fill in for Todd Herman. And Todd's a great guy,
I have no memory of you. Do you like my congressional medal?
I do. I love it, Mr.
President's
Limbaugh.
Medal.
So I'm curious, how do you feel about the union that is now being formed by the Republicans in the Washington legislature? Because I would have assumed that they would have been very anti-union, being that the general sentiment amongst the GOP is
They're being rounded up as we speak, Jack.
What do you mean?
Crawled on the carpet.
What do you mean?
Union's the fast track to fascism, I call it.
Right, that's what I thought you would say, right? So what should I give... A little twitchy there, Mr. Limbaugh. What advice?
It's always hot here.
What advice should I give the members of the GOP? Because I don't think that they should unionize, right?
I think the R in their name should be for resume.
All right, well, thank
Party reaffiliation.
Thank you, Mr. Limbaugh. I appreciate that. You can kill the spooky music.
What happened? I blacked out.
I know that was amazing, Spike.
Did it work?
I think Mr. Limbaugh. He went back to be with Jesus where he belongs.
Yeah.
But the thing that I don't... So unions are collective bargaining. And it, basically what you're doing is you're using the force of we are a collective entity to push back against this either a mega corporation or a business or something like that.
That's right. If we cows were unionized, they wouldn't be cut from the herd and killed off.
Right? So I just think that it's interesting. I just think that it's really interesting that more than 60% of House and Senate assistants signed cards showing interest, right? This is according to Jamie Lund, who's the association president and legislative assistant for Senator Jeff Wilson, who's a Republican out of Longview. As of Wednesday, there were 39 House assistants and 21 Senate assistants.
That had decided to, the union life was better for them.
Union life would be better for them in the long term. Yeah. So I'm curious if there's any members from the GOP out there that have anything to say about this, because I would have thought they would have been vehemently against this because they're unionizing against taxpayer dollars. Right?
Yes.
I mean, you're literally bargaining against the taxpayer, which I have heard over and over and over again that this is basically an open air crime when it, as it pertains to any other government entity who unionizes.
Okay. So the reason that Republicans are against unions is because they want the independent business model where the market takes care of everything.
Right. Yeah.
They're against the collective bargaining, safety in numbers mentality of the unions. But when given the option of what's best for my life, even Republicans who work for the state legislature will tell you. So it seems so disingenuous for the Republican Party to be so anti-union.
It does seem.
All they got to do is look at the people who are bringing them the files they need, doing the paperwork they need, bringing the coffee they ordered.
It does seem very bizarre, and someone would have to clarify for me where the philosophic schism is. Amazon and British Petroleum have countersued to repeal the Washington climate law. So regular gas prices in Washington, I didn't know this because I don't drive a car, but they're above $5 last month. I had no idea that this was the case.
We've had, I guess, the last 12 weeks, maybe, or 8 weeks probably, maybe a 50-cent increase in gas across state on average.
And this has largely to do with the carbon tax initiative, which is a disaster of a policy. And everybody,
it's on the ballot in November.
I understand But now you have Amazon and British Petroleum who are stepping into the fray. And they are saying that this is just an undue burden. It's too onerous on these businesses to try to make up the difference. My read of it is I understand that what Inslee was trying to do with the carbon tax initiative. I get it, right? I understand what he was trying to do. But he failed to realize, as almost every other economist tried to warn him about and every other political commentator tried to warn him about, is that unless there was some mechanism, which would be unconstitutional, that he could write into the law, which would say you're not allowed to increase prices based on the overhead or based on to offset the cost of the carbon tax.
Correct.
That, I mean, he had to have known that something like this was going to happen, where now you get major industry coming in and pushing back to repeal this climate law, right?
I would think, and in fact, we know that he did know. He was told. There was someone who was tasked to find out what the implications and effects would be of this said law.
Right.
And President Inslee, I'm a little ahead of myself, while the governor said pennies on the gallon, the information he was handed, and he knew better. Of course he knew better.
Yeah, he did, and it will be interesting to see how this unfolds in November, because the amount of, I just think that people vote with their dollars. I mean, such a tropish thing to say, but I mean, that's the way that people either vote with their dollars or they vote with their hearts, right?
Yeah,
or
absolutely
in,
true.
In some cases, it's their wombs, depending on whether or not you have
that's
one of those.
Very true, too.
And so then you end up in a circumstance where you're going to have people who normally are very in favor of climate change policies to try to offset carbon. We're going to go out and they're going to vote because they don't want to spend $5 on gas.
Or $5 on eggs.
Right.
You're right. They're going to vote with their pocketbook. They're going to vote with their hearts.
Quite frankly, I don't blame them. The appeals court has decided to reject a climate change lawsuit by young Oregon activists against the U.S. government. Basically, what these kids were saying is that the United States government was engaging in policies which were directly affecting their future.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's hard to predict, though, because the damages there are unascertainable. You cannot ascertain what exactly those damages would be for those individual children, right?
And the lawyer who took the case was arguing that the children deserve a future, and the government knows what they're doing, and they're deciding to take a more economically driven approach to governing as opposed to a long-term environmental approach to governing.
I understand that, but my thought about it was, as dark as this is, how can we be sure that all these kids in this lawsuit, the 21 of them who were between the ages of 8 and 18, how are we going to – do we really know if those kids are going to be around like 10, 15, 20 years?
That's so
I'm just saying. I know it's super dark.
That's fair. No, that's fair to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 36 years old, been to a lot of funerals, you know what I'm saying? Been to lot of funerals. Yeah. And I'm just saying that when you try to assess damages based on the average of how long someone will be around on the planet, ballpark it, probably four or five of those kids wouldn't be around long
Maybe
enough
not.
To see any significant yeah. climate change.
Maybe not.
So can you really make the argument that you are damaging my future when we can't predict that because we live in a linear universe?
Who says you've got a future to damage? That's an interesting legal approach.
If I was Lawyer Jack, the argument that I would make to these kids is, who says you got a future, little man?
If you bring up their social media posts, say all the stupid stuff they're doing and posting.
Right, exactly.
Your Honor, this kid's not going to make it to 25!
I mean, it's just kind of a silly, silly lawsuit, right?
Well, the first it was denied, and it was by an appellate court. It was dismissed.
Correct.
Well, it was filed back in 2015.
Yeah.
This has been going on for almost 10 years. First denied by appellate court, but that judge says you can rewrite your lawsuit
mm-hmm.
on the grounds that we dismissed it, and they were allowed to do so about a year ago. But the judge in this particular case that dismissed it for, the final time, I think, he says policy can't be made from judges. It's got to be made from legislatures. If you want a better future, get involved.
Yeah.
Don't just sue your way to a better future.
I just don't know, I don't understand how now we have, climate change celebrity influencers. It just doesn't make it like Greta.
Is that with Greta? Yeah.
Greta
yeah.
Thunberg is not an inspirational individual. I find her to be off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
I find her to be kind of unpleasant to listen to. Mm-hmm. I find her to be awkward and cringy in a lot of ways. Billy Sunshine hates it when I talk about Greta Thunberg because
is he still a fan?
Oh, he loves Greta.
Oh.
Can't get enough of Greta Thunberg. But when I think about Greta, I think of someone who is relying on a lot of Facebook memes. Greta Thunberg is kind of the equivalent of a MAGA supporter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of Facebook memes and a lot of, I talk a lot of game, but actually producing any. Laura sips tea. What, Laura? What did I say? What did I say, Laura? Please. What did I say?
Nothing.
Are you a fan of Greta?
I think that she felt very passionately about something at a young age, and I don't know how you get out of that as an adult.
Okay,
that's
she made a big splash, but doesn't have an exit strategy.
Right.
Yeah, okay. To become that famous as a kid behind a certain cause directs the entire course of your life into adolescence and adulthood. And I think that's a really interesting problem that she's probably grappling with.
Yeah, kind of like 90s superstar Devin Sawa, who nobody remembers now. But if you look up any of his movies, you go, oh, yeah, that kid. But now if I say Devin Sawa, no one or Devon, no one knows who I'm talking about.
Left the industry to pursue a real meaningful life, a better, different path?
Well, I mean, so, Andrew, do you know who I'm talking about when I say Devon Sawa? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Devon Sawa?
Yeah.
I like that singer.
Ah, close. Laura, do you know who I'm talking
about? I just Googled him. Oh, yeah. He was in Casper, right?
He's in literally everything.
That's a blonde kid from Casper?
He was not the child actor who did the voice, because the child actor who did the voice was too young.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to pair him, the actress with somebody who was age appropriate, they went with that kid. But if you look at his filmography through the mid 90s and the early 2000s, he was literally in everything.
Kid from Little Giants?
My dude.
So what he just decided he wanted to do something different? Bailed on Hollywood?
I'm not sure what happened to him.
Yeah.
But point being is that, you know, once you kind of buy the ticket, you'd kind of take the ride. That's what I'm saying, is that when you, Greta Thunberg kind of jumped in with both feet into, this is my thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat. Like, that's like someone who is like a prodigy at playing the didgeridoo at five,
yeah.
You know, and they're playing Madison Square Garden and they're playing, you know,
wow, right. Sold out show.
But then by the time they're 28 and you're beatboxing into a didgeridoo with Yo-Yo Ma, at a certain point in time, we kind of get the shtick of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's are there any other Aboriginal wind instruments that you might have?
You can branch out, get a little more diverse.
You know, Kenny G can play a bunch of woodwind instruments.
Kenny?
That's why he's had so much longevity, right? French horn, he could do a little clarinet, he could do it all, right? It just seems to me like Greta didn't really expand outward, and she didn't break up the routine, right? She had her 1 hour of material. Laura hates this. Laura loves Greta. Am I hurting your feelings, Laura? I don't mean to hurt your feelings by talking about Greta.
No, my feelings are hard to hurt.
When you equated her to a MAGA, kind of a meme type.
She's a meme, Lord.
But that works for MAGA. It works for those folks. Why didn't I deny Greta her?
Yeah.
Shot at meme culture and moving the needle through meme?
Yes, I will, because I want people to talk about things in a way that is engaging and stimulating and not in a way that is
That's fair. You're both ways with that, too. That's fair.
You're
very even keeled.
I try to be
that.
Very fair, particularly when I'm talking about Devon Sawa. So, Washington Police Academy faces a second sexual harassment lawsuit. This is rough stuff. This one has to do with a former cadet. She filed a lawsuit against the police academy towards Richard Rick Klein, who repeatedly used his position of authority as an instructor to sexually harass and touch her while she attended mandatory training at the academy between September and November of 2022. My question about this is if are we not clear enough about the things that make us uncomfortable to the people that we work with? Meaning, and are we as dudes, as men, do we not pick up on signals that are very clear of a woman's discomfort that would have negated all of this,
The fact that there's just this individual being named in this suit.
Right.
And the fact that this is a very, I don't want to say hands-on, I'm not trying to be cute or coy with this, right? You're talking about instructions at the academy, you're talking about physical training, you're talking about firearm training, you're talking about a lot of body contact, right? And I'm thinking for the vast majority of the instructors and as well as the cadets who go through the academy, it's a fine, professional, boundary-set situation. But you got someone who went through something, it's almost 2 years ago now, right, or a year and a half ago now, that this guy was out of line. And so a suit is being brought. And I guess it's probably been in the works for a while, I imagine.
Quick question.
Sure.
Let's say that you're this the
instructor,
Caitlin Rick Secker's
trainee.
Dad. Let's say that you're the dad, right? What does dad do?
Well, I think at this moment, this is a grown adult, my child, who's at the academy.
But Ryan was a grown adult.
That's true.
And you almost got on a plane and killed a man.
I had bought a ticket.
Right.
I bought a ticket to take the next available flight.
Yeah.
I was going to pick up a shovel and a bag of lime in New York because I didn't want to travel with them.
Cheaper sales tax.
Plus, you don't want to call that on a plane. You have to explain yourself. I tried to kill the guy.
Right.
I mean, I tried to kill the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But to this point, I'd be very proud of my daughter.
Oh.
If I'm the dad who went through this and stepped up and said, I'm suing this guy.
That's sweet.
I'm pressing charges. I'm standing up for future female cadets who go through the academy and no one ever has to do this again.
That's sweet. That's good dad, right? That's good dad. That's good dad vibes.
Thanks.
It's a spectrum. Kill a man with a shovel. Be proud of your daughter.
Girl.
Right? Dads are all over the place with their emotions.
When it comes to
if it was my kid, I would be ballistic.
No pun intended.
I would be ballistic.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to make a great dad, by the way. You're going to make a great dad. You said a couple days ago, it was yesterday, that you don't think your window is closed for fatherhood. I don't think that's the case.
No, thankfully, I took my anti-anxiety medication and came down. What I am going to do, though, is I'm going to raise my kids on a private island somewhere.
That's insane. Smart
with
call.
It's removed from civilization.
Yep.
That they will never have to be subjected to.
I don't care if the other kids have phones and the internet.
You have pick up those coconuts and pretend like you have a phone, right? That's what I'm going to do with my kids. They're just not going to be anywhere near all this hellscape that we live in.
They're going to be.
Cougar hunting rules proposed by Washington State. Jokes abound, but that's in poor taste. We're going to be talking about why. Laura, did you pull the audio from this, by the way? Because it's actually really interesting. I don't think I asked you to do that.
I'll grab it, though.
Thank you. Because I thought that the majestic cougar was to be left alone. An apex predator.
Yes, it is. But you're also assuming we're not going to encroach into their territory. Because we got to build housing, buddy.
So I need people who are hunters at 888-973-5476 to explain this to me. Because this is a hole in my knowledge. I thought that we were hunting, the gray wolf is up for hunting again.
Yeah.
But that's because the numbers are back up around 250,000.
Correct.
But when you look at the cougar, I was thinking that we were down to just a couple hundred of those bad boys.
I thought it was a protected species.
I thought so as well. So if you can fill in my knowledge gap on this, please text me at 888-973-5476, and I will react to said information when we get back right after this. I had to sue a millionaire to become rich. You know how hard that is?
Or based.
Even the Irish understand math and time.
Yes, Scringer based. Fun segment we like to do every day, 1:35. Cougar hunting rules or new rules are being proposed by Washington State. I did not know that you could hunt cougars, right? Now, let's all get our minds out of the gutter, you guys, when it comes to cougar jokes. Laura, I see you making those. I see it.
I would never.
I see it.
I would never.
Get your mind out of that awful. We're talking about big cats, not ladies.
I'll
over.
Do it.
We're not talking about ladies over 50. Laura, come on now. Let's be adults in this fine radio program, Laura. Get your mind out of the gutter. So cougars, the idea behind it is that it will change the season from September 1st to March 31st, and it's limiting hunting to 13% of the population across Washington regions, and the public comment is open until June 21st. I am a non-hunter. Did we get any text messages from anybody that has any thoughts about cougar hunting?
Yeah, we did. That there's so many cougars, it's hurting the elk and deer populations.
Okay.
Locally in Poulsbo, there was an older cougar. James in Poulsbo writes this in. There was an older cougar who kept the area fairly safe, he says, but then that cougar passed away. As a result, last summer, we had 2 to 3 younger cougars trying to establish themselves as the new alphas, and many goats and alpaca were lost.
Not the alpaca. What?
Yeah. Afraid so, Jack.
Not the poor alpacas out there.
Know.
So what people are basically telling me is that this is a necessity for the rest of the wildlife. I just feel bad about these gigantic, majestic creatures being shot and killed.
Well,
I feel more so. Alpacas are a dime a dozen. Goats, you can't get rid of them. You adopt one goat, by the end of the week, you got 56
goats
of them
out there. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, my joke was 56.
That's
I thought my joke was funnier. But you know, you can take that if you want.
No. By all means. I like what you always have to say about what's the cycle? You have a name for, you know this name. I don't know this name.
I'm still mad about my joke.
I'm sorry. 56 goats, you say?
I can't believe that. 56 goats. I'm just racked with grief.
Genius. I'm sorry.
This is like a curse that you and I have with each other.
We race to the finish line.
We race to the finish line.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get right there.
And I got a bit or you got a bit and just step all over it. Kind of like when there's a majestic apex predator out there that's just trying to live its life, and it comes across in a place where human beings interact, and it looks over and it sees an obese individual in an orange jacket with a 30-30, and it says to itself, well, I guess I had a nice life. And that's the tragedy of it, that we as human beings, if you think about this, me versus a cougar, cougars win in 10 out of 10 times, right?
Yeah.
But if I've got that orange don't shoot me vest on, and if I've got a nice 30-06, all of a sudden now I'm the apex predator, right?
Correct.
Doesn't that seem like cheating? If you really want to hunt a cougar, I'm going to have to insist that you do it predator style. Cover yourself in mud, make a bow and arrow out of scraps that you find in the jungle.
Okay.
And then you can take it down. That's my verdict.
Could I, as an alternative method, go the Liam Neeson style from The Gray?
Permissible.
Where you tape the miniature liquor bottles in your hands and break them into glass and punch the guy down?
Yeah, fair game, fair game.
Is it the tropic?
Trophic.
Trophic, okay.
Yeah.
That's where the balance of nature, right? You have to predators take out certain other animals so they don't overpopulate.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of this either. If the cougar population needs to be managed so that other populations can thrive. Like I said, if there's too many elk because there aren't enough cougar, then there aren't enough resources for all the elk, and that's not good either. It's, I mean, important, responsible resource management is good. I understand that element of hunting. I'm not anti-hunting at all. I wonder, though, if this doesn't come on the heels of that zebra. Because just yesterday we saw these stories that a cougar had been spotted on the same trail as the zebra. So now we're going to expand cougar hunting season? This isn't in reaction to just
I think it comes
that.
On the heels of the attack in Issaquah. The bikers.
The women biker bicyclists, not bikers.
Yeah. Laura, if you had to fight a cougar, no guns allowed, what weaponry would you procure?
Oh, no guns allowed. Okay. I would just lose. I would admit defeat.
Okay.
Genuinely. All I think even if I had a gun, I would lose against a cougar.
So yeah, you pointed at yourself by mistake.
Everything I've heard about them, not by mistake. It's a gentler death. Everything I've learned about cougars growing up in this area is that they will see you long before you see them.
Okay.
And they are choosing not to engage with you. The times that there is contact is when a cougar is young or aggressive or you're near cubs, right? So then you've stumbled into a situation that you can't really control or prepare for.
That was the case with the bicyclist who was attacked and nearly killed because it was a young adolescent cougar.
Andrew, if you had to fight a cougar, what weaponry would you choose? No guns allowed.
No guns? Let me think. Probably a big staff would do. Something that makes lots of noise.
Okay.
It would be like, yeah, some sort of noisemaker, like, I don't know, if something they hold in your hand that can go
air
off.
Horn.
Like a hand grenade.
Okay. Awful answers. You guys could have, there is a pantheon of weapons out there. Like, ask me what mine would be.
Jack, what would you do if you didn't have access to a gun? How would you defend yourself against cougar attack?
Two of those William Wallace greatswords from Braveheart.
Okay.
I would have two of them, right? Plus a combination samurai sword, plus combination Rambo knife, plus combination ninja shurikens, because I would have to fight it at distance first.
Using the things you throw?
The stars,
okay.
Right? And
yeah.
It would stars, and it's going to be dodging out of the way, and that's when I take out the Rambo knives. Come at me, bro. And it's going to jump over me, lose the Rambo knives.
Okay.
Then you're going to samurai swords, which, of course, then it transforms into its final form as a robot cougar, breaks my samurai swords, and then at that point, to break through the titanium, that's when you come out with the William Wallace great swords, and that, my friends, is how you defeat a cougar.
I thought we got one weapon in this scenario. Choose your weapon.
You've got an
armory in the woods.
Right. That is collectively my weapon.
It's that heavy backpack thing we talked about.
I'm just picturing the scene from Indiana Jones where you've like got all the swords going around and then the cougar has a gun.
Yeah, that's the thing. Someone's got to take those guns away from those cougars too. You know what I mean? Walking around, they're packing out there, man.
Can I give you my weapon of choice? Drugged steak.
Ooh, that's clever.
So you throw it in the opposite direction.
I throw it right at him. I throw it to him.
Okay.
And it's laden down with sleeping medications.
Okay.
And I whistle a happy tune down the trail while he sleeps it off.
Doesn't this take like 45 minutes to an hour to kick in?
He's eating while I'm moving. That's a big steak.
We have a segment. We don't have the sounder for it yet. But we have a new segment that it's called Rage Bait, where we talk about things that irritate us. And I actually have something that is irritating me right now. It's the unknown. I have something that is really getting under my skin that I want to share with you guys. That it's a universal condition that almost everybody suffers from. But we don't have the music for this yet, right, Laura? We don't have the thing set up yet. I'm beyond disappointed. This is like opening Christmas presents that are wrapped in brown paper. What is this? Well, we'll do it when we get back right after this. Dave & Buster's is a place that I'll never step foot in ever again. I don't know why people go to Dave & Buster's. Subpar food.
There's that.
Bad atmosphere.
There's that.
Children running around screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't forget the noise.
When I'm in public places, the one thing I can't stand more than anything else is looking at the way that other people treat their kids.
Wow.
I can't stand it, man. Whether it's the, you know, they put the big 32-ounce Coke right in front of their developing child's pancreas, or they're screaming at their kid or whatever. You know, it's just so weird to me. But then the other thing that I see sometimes is really good parenting when I'm out and about in the world. For instance, back when I was living in Santa Cruz, when I was still in college, 8-9 years ago,
okay.
I was going to my local Whole Foods because I only shop at Whole Foods because I've got money. I'm walking in the Whole Foods and I see one of my political science professors.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's there with his lovely wife, who was an Italian socialist, and he's got his two little kids with him, and his kids were very, very young. And this is a professor that I respected enormously. He studied at Columbia. He's a brilliant writer, brilliant, real economics-heavy kind of professor.
Cool.
Really just a genius of a guy. And as I'm walking in, I see that he's standing right in the front with one of his kids, who is having a meltdown because they want to get pizza from the hot bar, and they're not having pizza before dinner. And I watch this professor who is, you know, I think he was like 6'4" or something like that. Really big dude. His little teeny tiny offspring. And he gets down on one knee, and this kid is having a 9 out of 10 fit, right?
Yeah,
Whereas other parents would be like, we're going to the car, right? And he ignores the rest of the world. And he's totally present with his kid. And he's like, we're not getting pizza right now. You can have anything else. You can have a piece of fruit. You can have this. You can have that. And the kid, of course, is like, you know what I mean? It's like a Hollywood diva. Like Reese, Reese Witherspoon on the side of PCH. Do you know who I am, Dad? Do you know who I am? Look at my ID. This is who I am. And he's trying to explain to her, he's like, you can have anything you want. You want to have one of the nice fruit bars. You want to have something else. We have a little salad before dinner, but we're not getting the pizza. And I see him, and we lock eyes. I get throw up the peace sign, which is my move that I stole from the Backstreet Boys back in 98, because it never goes out of fashion, Andrew, despite what you say. So I give the peace sign, and then later when I see him on campus, I said, Professor, I just want to let you know that as somebody who was raised by terrible parents, I think that was amazing what you did. I thought that was so sweet. And I said that to get an A in his class, and I did. And I did, which means the moral of the story is you always butter up people who are in power over you.
That's great.
Isn't that an amazing story? Isn't that so
really
heartwarming?
Is.
I thought it was an amazing heart story. But what I'm saying is that when I go to Dave & Buster's, I just see people like screaming at their kids. Yeah,
it's a wicked display of bad
parenting. So now, but what they're doing at Dave & Buster's is that you can gamble. If you're over the age of 18 in certain states, you can put wages on certain games that you'll win or beat them or whatever it is. Contributing to our overall obsession with money and finances in the United States.
It's worse than you think, by the way. You don't have to be 18 because you're betting other kids on the game you're playing at Dave & Buster's. Six-year-olds can make wagers.
That's not what I've read.
Did I misread the story?
I think you did, my guy.
I'm telling you. They're letting kids. It's not for money.
Mm-hmm.
It's for rewards and perks.
Oh, okay. Only and customers 18 and up will be allowed to stake money on Dave & Buster's games.
Right, but the kids can wager about with little prize trinkets, little VIP perks, opening up special pathways. They're teaching kids to gamble before they're old enough to gamble.
They're saying it's, quote, destigmatizing cash-based competition by evolving it into a fun, friendly, and social experience.
Yeah. That's dystopian.
Yes.
Wow. That's dystopian.
Now how anxiety-ridden are you, David Buster's?
Right. I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, kids already kind of gamble with their lives on a daily basis. Like,
they have no idea what their life is worth.
Right.
That's why they
exactly.
do that.
That's what I heard every day as a child growing up. Funny you say that, Laura. Actually, that's what my grandparents used to say to me. They used to say, do you know what your life is worth? Nothing! Is what they would say, right?
I think this is a horrific move from Dave & Buster to destigmatize, you know, monetary gambling and wagering, to make it part of a kid's psyche, to not want to do anything unless it's a competition.
I saw a video on YouTube. It was somebody who was up in Reno. They were at the Heart and Heroes. It was up in Reno.
Okay.
And they had this thing where they were showcasing you can do direct deposit now from your bank account directly into the slot machine.
Hand to God.
And they show this guy who's he's playing video poker.
Uh-huh.
And he moves $7,000 from his bank account, direct deposit, directly into the $700 hand video poker. And he's just going for it.
How is that?
Right. Oh, isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy, Town?
If you'd like to just take this IV and stick it in your arm when you run out of money, we'll take blood.
Pretty much.
Gamble your blood away.
How about some plasma? How about your firstborn? A Washington man's been sentenced for forcing multiple people into servitude. I read this story. I could not believe it, that this is actually a thing that a wealthy guy did. And the fact that it's on the News Tribune and basically nowhere else, I'm thinking, don't we care about slavery in general as a culture? In bankruptcy, Rudy Giuliani has set a $43,000 monthly budget, which is an incredible amount of money to waste. Another Boeing whistleblower has died. Sabotage, I say. And also, why can't we stop talking about age gaps between people? Age gaps. Isn't it so funny? Isn't it so weird? All that and more when we get back right after this.